It's been 1 week.
Since we podcast with you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were going to keep going with the song or not.
No.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
The pod. Summer Drive Time. Jason and Brand coming to you on Wednesdays.
Now, did you get a lot of people who reached out to you and said, Wednesdays, I like it?
37 people.
Me too. Exact same number.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting that they would contact both of us. Do you think it's a different 37 or
I
the same 37?
I think it's completely different.
Well, that's going to be...
Our friend groups don't overlap at all.
I think I agree with that. We hope all of you are having a fantastic week. It is a crisp, beautiful morning while the day we're reporting this podcast.
It was in the 30s this morning.
I wanna draw a picture for everybody.
Please do.
Of us sitting here currently in my office.
Yes.
Joined by a special friend who we're going to introduce in just a moment.
5-10 minutes from
now. Mm-hmm. I'm having a cup of coffee
in
a new coffee mug that I just brought in from my home. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it look nice? Do you like it?
I love it.
And then there's you.
Good shape.
Mm-hmm. There's you, and you are currently drinking your coffee out of a mason jar.
That's right.
So I wanted everybody to know Brandon's in my office drinking his coffee out of a mason jar, and he's wearing a long sleeve green T-shirt with.
That's Santa.
It's a Santa T-shirt. Uh huh. Well,
it's for a coffee shop in the area called Grateful Brew.
Okay.
And it's the building.
Right.
But Santa's flying over top.
Now, did you help design it? Or when you saw it, you thought, I got to get that. I don't care how much it cost. And how much did it cost?
I think Caitlin got it for me for Christmas.
Okay. So you don't know exactly.
Because I went in there and I said, I think it was like $20.
$20 for that?
Yeah.
I would give seven. I would give $7 for that T-shirt.
I would
not give. No, I wouldn't give seven. I'd give $1 for that T-shirt. I wouldn't even do that. I would not buy that T-shirt.
Would you wear it?
I would not wear that T-shirt. Now, what's
wrong with it?
No, nothing. It's great. It looks really good on you. Here's what's so
dumb too. Here,
yeah. Here's what's so great about Brandon today. Brandon has on his Christmas shirt, but then he's also wearing socks with a cactus.
Yes. And when you meet in the middle, you get fall.
Yeah, you do. I see what you did there. You did a fantastic job. We hope all of you are having a great week. I was listening to the pod last week with my family because I make my kids listen to it. And I really don't. But they said, Dad, can we listen to the pod? Because they like parts of it. And the parts they like are the serious parts
about the mission and vision.
They actually said last week when we were listening, why can't you and Mr. Brandon just do funny stuff the entire 22 minutes? To which I said, we're up to about 18 minutes of funny stuff. We've really only got 4 more minutes to cover.
But in order to do this during the workday.
That's right. We have to talk about some serious things.
At least a minute.
And that brings us to our good friend who is here today, Mr. Cam Hill. All of you out there, don't put your hands together, but just maybe blink your eyes quickly, and it's kind of like clapping.
Yes.
We're glad to have Cam. Cam's campus pastor of Summit Cherrydale.
How's it going out there, bud?
Great. So much fun.
Cam just returned from the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Now, when you, Brandon, think of guys on our staff team who would probably just fit in
to ask the rest of the question, Cam.
Exactly.
You don't even need to ask the question.
He spent some time in L.A. Who do you think on our time would be, like, on our team, would be the guy who would spend some time in L.A.?
All right. Easy.
And then not only was he in L.A., he went up to Seattle. Who on our team would you go, that guy could probably live in Seattle and just be great there?
Cam Hill.
Exactly right. Today, guys. He sits in my office. Mind you, I'm going to keep doing what everyone's wearing. He's wearing a puffy coat. He's wearing a down coat.
Yeah. That's great.
He's also wearing now what do you call that? I call it a toboggan. A toboggan. Have you ever heard of that?
It's a very toboggan southern. Sounds like a sled.
Yes, it is also a sled for those of you that are up north. But those of us from the south, we never got to have toboggans in sled form, so we just called our caps that.
Because that's what you wear if you were to toboggan.
That is exactly right. We need to research actually the correct term for toboggan. Not right now, but we'll do it in a little bit.
I call that a beanie.
What I'm trying to say is it looks like he's been in Antarctica and just swung back by to see us. Is this normally how you dress when it's fall and 40 degrees outside?
So here's the thing.
Okay.
It's going to be about 60 later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've got a t-shirt on.
Yep.
For the 60s.
Yep. T-shirt goes
later.
Down to his knees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's not true.
but so you did layers.
Exactly. Because if I wore, a sweatshirt, then I'm going to have to peel that thing off
that's
later.
Really great.
The down jacket's just easy.
But let's talk about the hat, because I feel like you've made a commitment to the hat for the entire day. You feel like you can take that off and tussle the hair and you're still going to go with it?
I'm going to take it off in about 40 minutes.
Okay. All right. It's a good call. Mm-hmm. Brando, need you to wear that next week.
You can't wear the hat in staff meeting.
Well, of course not. Now, we're here today not to talk about Cam's travels around the globe, although they are very exhilarating.
Yes.
Did you have a good time in Seattle?
I had a great time. You need to know.
Go ahead.
Greenville's my place. I have so much Greenville pride.
Yeah. Well, what do they have that we don't?
Exactly.
They have Starbucks. We have a lot of Starbucks.
Uh-huh. Listen, no, on that point, everyone talks about coffee in Seattle. Listen, I probably went to 8 to 10 coffee shops.
Evangelistically
gracious,
speaking.
How long were you there?
I was there for 4 weeks.
I was there 3 days. Guys, okay. I planned out my coffee tour.
He took out
well
a second mortgage to go to coffee shops.
That's
he
right.
planned a tour. Did you hear what he said? He planned a tour to coffee shops.
Yeah.
Who do you think on our team would plan a tour to coffee shops?
All of that to say.
Yeah.
With Grayson.
Greenville's got great coffee. They did not have a level of coffee that we don't have.
What about Grateful Brew? Like, have you been
Grateful
to Grateful Brew?
Is really great coffee.
Would you buy that T-shirt that Brandon's wearing?
No. But I do buy their coffee.
It's a great shirt. Seasonal.
Did you go to the what's it called where they throw the fishes at you?
The
Pike's Place.
Yes.
Pike's. What's it called?
The Pike Place Fish Market.
Did you go? Did
yeah.
they throw a fish?
They did throw a fish
to you.
No.
Mm.
No, I wouldn't have caught that. That's
you know who
would have
caught it? Joy would have caught it, your wife.
Probably.
She's very athletic. She would have caught
we
the fish.
We did buy some smoked salmon.
Yeah, was it good?
So it was the best salmon I've ever had. We brought some back.
Well, then that's one thing that Seattle has that we don't
that's
have
true.
Here, really good smoked salmon.
Yep.
But I don't think that's the reason to move there. We're glad you're still in Greenville.
Me too.
And we wanted to talk a little bit about today, something that's coming up at being hosted at Summit Cheerdale. It's for all of Summit, but it's being hosted at Summit Cheerdale.
You know, it almost flows right out of last week's episode.
It does, because last week, one of the things we talked about is that we're not overly programmatic as a church, but there are a few things that we want to strategically offer throughout the course of the year. One of the things we were talking about was Brian Onken's gifted class that he's been teaching here over the last several weeks.
Been great.
It has been, and now we're rolling into something in the month of November that we invited Cam in to talk a little bit about, because we hope all of you that are listening will sign up and be a part of this. So, Cam,
that's right.
Jump in, talk with us a little bit about Gospel and Race Conference that we're hosting at Summit Cherrydale November 9th and 10th.
Yeah, so we are going to be hosting, as Jason just mentioned, the Gospel and Race Conference, and our hope for that, the reason that we framed it that way as gospel and race is we want to explore the gospel implications for how we understand race and the issues of justice surrounding race. So one of the things you've heard us talk about, I think even in our Vision 2030,
that's right.
That was, you know, at the beginning of the year, was our desire to grow in diversity and to experience racial reconciliation. And one of the reasons that whenever I talk about race, I usually talk about issues of racial justice, because I think racial reconciliation and diversity all fits into that category, because the segregation that we experience in everyday life is the byproduct of racial injustice. Mm-hmm. So to address issues of racial reconciliation, we have to address justice.
Love
and the
it.
Gospel has a lot to say about that.
100%. Do us a favor, Cam. Go back a little bit and just share a little bit of the journey that the Lord's had you on, really, for years now.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just, hey, we kind of felt like in the cultural moment we should host a conference and because we need to do something because everybody's doing something or nobody's doing something, so we should do something. Like, that wasn't our motivation even behind hosting this. This is a piece of a larger conversation and really a longer conversation that we've been having as a staff team here and as a leadership team at Summit Church, amongst the people of Summit Church, but also just in your personal journey, you and your family's journey of how the Lord has led you to think well about these things. Would you mind taking a few moments and sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say, man, it's hard to think back on kind of where the starting point was, but when I was in college, I took a class called Urban Ministry, and we learned about just ministry in the city, in the urban core of a city, which includes more ethnic diversity. And so a huge piece of that was addressing poverty, but then also addressing issues of race and the intersection between race and poverty and some of the inequalities that folks have experienced that have caused them to live in poverty. And so issues of racial justice ended up being actually a really large theme within some of those classes. And I went to a conference in Chicago when I was in college on racial reconciliation.
Okay.
And was there for a week and a half. And it was an incredible experience that I'll probably never forget. I was with probably 70 other people, and I was the minority there, which was the first time in my life that I'd actually been the ethnic minority anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was led, the conference was led by a Latino, and there were, you know, Latino, Black folks, Asian folks, white folks, and we were all in this community together, learning and growing and listening to one another. And it was one of the first times where I had been, again, a minority who was being taught, submitting myself to leadership that didn't look like me, hearing from perspectives that were new for me in a different environment. And it just like really began to open my eyes to certain things. And one of the, I guess, desires that God put in my heart and then in the heart of my wife. So my wife is Puerto Rican and Chinese.
Okay.
And that marrying her and just, you know, being close to her family has been another one of those experiences of growing and learning from another culture, you know, multiple cultures.
Sure.
But one thing, a desire God put in her heart and in my heart was to move into an African-American community. And through our time in a, you know, primarily African-American neighborhood, we have just gained proximity to need.
Yeah.
And that's opened our eyes. So there's an expression we often say, which is proximity breeds empathy.
Hmm.
And part of that is the closer you get to people, the better opportunity you have to understand what they're walking through and to hear their stories, to listen to them, as opposed to assuming certain things or to caricaturing. Like we can caricature people and we can characterize situations.
For sure, yeah.
And make them two-dimensional and simple. And life's not simple and people are complex. And when you get closer to people, you begin to see that. And so through our journey, even here in Greenville, living in a primarily African-American neighborhood for a little over 5 years now, the Lord's just taught us a whole lot, and he's opened our eyes to realities that we hadn't seen before. And so, and as God has been doing that through our experiences, as we, you know, read the scriptures, we begin to see, man, there are so many gospel implications for how we engage people in justice, and specifically around race, which is a really large factor in our country.
Sure, 100%. So. Talk a little bit about how you see the body of Summit Church, because one of the things that has encouraged my heart as you enjoy listening well to the Spirit of God, moved into the neighborhood that you did to begin to love the people that are placed around you. And we talk about that with everybody at Summit. No matter where you are, the Lord in his sovereignty and kindness has placed you there. So live there with a sense of gospel intentionality. Share a little bit about how within the context of Summit, the body of Summit, we've seen other people begin to respond in similar ways, even in regards to moving into some of the same areas with a sense of intentionality. Because what began, I believe, with you and Joy being intentional in place has grown, I believe, been used by the Spirit of God to grow that desire or come alongside other people that the Spirit of God was speaking to in regards to that desire to be intentional in some of the same areas of Greenville.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of the things, you know, after we'd lived in the neighborhood for a few years, we had been just wanting to listen, not do a whole lot, really, just listen, be good neighbors, and observe.
Yeah.
We were both new to the South, and we were new to the neighborhood. And after time in the neighborhood, we saw different ministries that existed, different churches that were involved, and were able to kind of figure out our place. I remember meeting with a pastor and who was also the director of a local community center in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I just said, hey, what exists and what gaps can we help fill? And he said, hey, you know, working with high school students and young adults, there aren't programs out here. It's tough to get funding for that. And we don't have anything. So he said, if you guys could, you know, develop a program, if you guys could, you know, do something to work with high school age students and young adults, that's a huge need that exists here. So we started an organization called Elias, and we started an open gym, did some after school tutoring, leadership development, and mentoring. And throughout that process, that was really just a way, so much of that was the overflow of everyday life for Joy and I.
Sure.
But it was an opportunity for us to create structure that other people could be welcomed into.
Yeah.
So we were already playing basketball at the local courts. You know, we were already developing friendships and relationships with students. They were coming over to the house. I mean, there was that a natural, organic, just being a good neighbor, this is what that looks like. But there were so many other people who wanted to be involved and just didn't know how to necessarily. So creating Elias really was an on-ramp for people to come in, serve, and in many ways have their eyes open to certain realities that they hadn't seen before through proximity.
Yeah.
And as that's happened, we've just seen a number of people who have felt God's call on their life to either move into the neighborhood with us, which that's happened with four or five families, or to get involved in various ways through serving. And that's a huge commitment. That's a weekly commitment that people make. It's not a, you know, and every once in a while sort of a thing, sporadically reactionary whenever I feel guilty or bad about certain things that exist. It's a, hey, I want to jump in and get in on what God is doing on a regular basis.
Love that. Now share a little bit also then about, in regards to Elias and the partnership side of things, how many I mean, we talk a good bit about some around church partnership. How many other churches are a part of investing in that?
Yeah, I think nine at
Love
this
that.
Point.
Yeah, a super, super encouraging. Mm-hmm. With those, sorry, Brandon, I'm asking all the questions today. Is that okay?
I'm still here, guys.
Yeah, still here. In regards, you just drink your coffee out of your mason jar. In regards to obviously what the Lord's done in your life, what he's been doing in the hearts and lives of some of the people of Summit, obviously other churches are involved in that because it's not just about Summit, like the church working together to reach different geographies around the upstate of South Carolina. Talk a little bit then about this conference that we're doing and how, again, I wanted for our folks, and the reason we're doing the pod with you today is I wanted them to hear a little bit more about how this is an outworking of, like I said, a longer conversation that we've been having. So with all of that kind of said as the background, talk a little bit more about what we're doing November the 9th and November the 10th, the conversations we're wanting to have, who we're inviting in to be a part of the conversations with us.
Yeah.
Because not just a Summit thing. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think for us as a church, so personally, the journey that we've been on, I have become utterly convinced through the scriptures, not through culture, not through anything that I'm, you know, just seeing on TV or reading on Twitter, but from God's word and really through discipleship, people who invested in me and discipled me through God's word in college have become utterly convinced that the church ought to be in diverse areas. The church ought to be diverse. It should represent its geography.
Yeah.
And the gospel is the only power for the church to do that. And because of that conviction, like that's my conviction personally, I think us as a church, that's become our conviction as well, that we want to grow in diversity for the sake of every man, woman, and child. Our circles of accountability are diverse and they're increasingly diverse. And so, for us as a church to reach those places, obviously there are certain ways in which our churches won't reflect our geography perfectly, and language barriers and certain things like that can be an issue. But where issues of segregation, like intentional segregation, have been the cause for churches to lack diversity, we think that's an issue of injustice, and we want to think well about that, address that in the power of the gospel so that we can move towards reconciliation and a growth in diversity. And the reality is, right now in our country, people are beginning to see that. Like I've heard people describe our cultural moment as post-Christian, and they'll define that as, I think it was John Mark Comer who said, it's desiring the kingdom without the king.
Mm.
So you like the idea of the Christian ethic, or at least aspects of it,
right,
but you don't want to submit to Jesus as your king. And so we have given a moral vision to the world. And a part of that is diversity. And that goes back to the first century church. You know, when Paul said, hey, listen, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. If you have put on Christ, you are members of one body.
That's right.
That was radical for the culture to observe,
yeah,
to see reconciliation take place in such a powerful way because of the gospel. Well, that's still our vision, and the world wants that. But they don't know how to get that because they don't have the gospel.
Yeah.
And so the church right now has the opportunity to display the power of the gospel in the way that we are reconciled together.
That's right.
But we can't do that if we don't deal with the past.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm always encouraged by is the freedom the gospel gives Christians to take an honest look at sin, both personally and systemically. Like, we don't have to sugarcoat things. We can look at realities honestly, and we can know that there's no condemnation on us in the midst of those things. And we can know that there's grace to move forward and there's power to move forward.
Love it.
So through this conference, the reason that we wanted to have this conference is because, one, we want to grow in diversity as congregations so that we can more effectively reach our circles. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that if we haven't thought well about the history of our country, the history of our cities, issues of race in general,
yeah,
and what it means to embrace people from different cultures, what it means to really become a transcultural place where culture is celebrated. You're impacted by other people's cultures. You're not just asking them to assimilate into your culture. Like, there's just so many dynamics to it. And we want to think well about that before we try to grow in diversity, or as we try to grow in diversity as a congregation.
We talk about it all the time. You know, we want to be missionaries in our place. And in order to be missionaries in our place, we've really got to know our place.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that goes overseas to do missions work, listen, it's not throw a sign on the door and tell everybody to come to your thing.
That's right.
It is get to know your place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is this place? Who makes up this place? What's the history of this place? Everything that goes into that. And so we want to continue to be diligent missionaries, even in the upstate of South Carolina, where we feel like God in his sovereignty has placed us. In 30 seconds, give me the names of four or five people who are going to be a part of leading this, because it's not just Summit leading in it.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a few. So Michael Darbuzzi is going to actually be kind of our primary speaker.
Okay.
And he's coming down from Durham. He's an African-American pastor, friend of ours. He's come down and joined us actually in staff meetings in the past.
Yep.
Awesome brother. He's done a number of different things, actually. He's got a pretty wide, you know, range of past responsibilities. He's done a lot of cultural diversity training within the corporate world.
Neat.
He's worked with police stations in Raleigh, helping them think well about engaging, you know, poorer communities and even African-American communities as well. Done some cultural diversity training with them.
It's great.
And he's a pastor and just loves shepherding people towards this. And then there's a neighbor of mine, Dr. Grady Butler, who is just, we're not sure if he's going to be able to come because he's old. He's real old, but he is, if he can't make it, we're going to try and do some video work with him. But he has some incredible experiences, actually organizing a sit-in with Dr. King, spent the night in jail with him, and he taught down in Atlanta, taught Dr. King's son.
Wow.
And he lives four houses down from me. So, wow. He's awesome. And then there is, again, this is still a little tentative, but there's a guy locally who works with an organization called Soteria Community Development Corporation. Really close friend of ours as a church, has been for a number of years. His name's Jerry Blassingame. And he works boots on the ground with dealing with issues of mass incarceration, and even specifically how that some of the racial disparities that exist there.
Sure.
As well with reentry. He has a reentry program, folks returning from prison into society,
yeah,
helping them kind of reenter and acclimate here.
Love it. Well, we're thankful for the work the team's doing. We're looking forward to a great time. If you want to sign up and be part of this, you can go to summitupstate.org, get signed up. There's childcare available if you have kids, but that'll be a limited childcare. So don't wait, don't delay in getting signed up for that. Summitupstate.org, the Gospel and Race, November the 9th, Friday night from 6:30 to 8:30, and then again on the following Saturday morning from 9 to 12.
You got it.
So a total of 5 hours together, two on Friday night, three on Saturday morning. It's going to be a fantastic time.
Sign-up's live right now, homepage.
There you go. Cam, thanks so much for sharing, man. Super thankful for you. Brandon, I think you did a great job of hosting this podcast today. I've had seven different people text in and say that I was very mean to you about your Christmas shirt. And so I would like to still say I would not wear it. All right. We hope all of you
Christmas to you.
Merry fall. All right. We'll talk to everybody soon. Love you. See you. Bye. 10 and 2.